fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue a reflection that began on Monday. Both a reflection a little bit on the times we're living in, but more so a reflection on things that Jesus said about himself and what he's done for us and how living in the light of Christ is so crucial for all of us, right? I mean, it ought to be for every disciple who's ever lived, it's crucial. But we're living at a time of intensification of spiritual conflict and spiritual battle. There's no question about it. Jesus reminds us, you know, people feel confused and anxious about the future. And remember what Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. What does he mean? What does he overcome about the world? Jesus has overcome the power, in the biblical sense of the world, the fallen dimension of the world. For example, what we just saw a few weeks ago in Orlando, the killing of all those people. In the inner city of Chicago over Memorial Day weekend, 69 people are shot. It's what we saw on Wall Street in 2008, the greed and the corruption and the incredible amount of incentive in people and all around the whole, the subprime mortgage collapse, people were incentivized in the pursuit of money to not do their job. Tremendous collapse of character that's going on. So, I mean, it's just so much, and we know it, we see it, and wars that continue. So this reality that can cause us to fear and can instill great anxiety in us. That's the world Jesus is talking about. And he's actually saying, don't be afraid, but be of good cheer because this world is not going to get the last word in your life. Nobody was more realistic than Jesus about the reality of what someone could suffer in this world. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. This will not triumph. Life itself is a breath. It's a passing shadow. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. This is not your ultimate home. You're a pilgrim. You're moving through time. Your life is headed somewhere. And your life is in his hands. So Jesus said, don't be afraid. The world's going to hate you. He said, but remember, the world hated me first. And there is right now, I can feel it, see it, touch it. There's a kind of rage against the church in many places in the West. And people say, well, yeah, that's because of the sins of the church. Yeah, I think some of that's true. I think we've given the world a pretty big stick to beat us up with in the church, you know, because of the sins of the church. And so what ends up happening is part of what happens is the world in its rage or rejection against the church is a kind of discipline to purify the church. You got to want to be in the church today. If you're just a hanger-on or kind of lukewarm or you're a cultural Catholic or Christian, you know, there's just too much negativity toward the church to want to hang around. You got to know why you're there. You got to know what it means to be a disciple of Christ and to have a living relationship with Jesus in his church and in his body. It takes that kind of living faith. And so there's this reality of what Jesus has overcome. He's overcome the world. He stands on the other side of death in glory. What the apostles saw and touched, as I said yesterday. And that changed their life because eternity was opened up to them. And that's why they proclaimed to us. They said, we want to tell you that the eternal life that was with the Father, with God, has appeared to us in the person of Jesus. And we've seen it, we've touched it. And we want to share it with you now and pass on. And they received the gift and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So that very band of men and women who literally were gripped by fear, even though Jesus told them at one point, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You can trust the Father, your sons and daughters of God. When crunch time hit, when the powers of the world were coming down on Christ and the powers of the kingdom of Satan of darkness to destroy him, to shut him up, and to try to conquer him, to drive him out, the apostles who walked with Jesus for 3 years, many of them panicked. Peter, of course, denied her knowing him. And what was revealed there, friends, was the deep fear that's in the human heart. Did Peter reject or deny Jesus because he didn't care about him? He loved him. And that night at the Last Supper, Jesus told Peter, he foretold, he said, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no way. Lord, that is not going to happen. I know that will never happen. Because I love you, because you're my Lord, right? And what happened? Hour or two later, Peter denies three times ever knowing him. And thanks be to God for that moment, because Jesus knew why that was going to happen, because Peter needed to see, as we all need to see, our fallen, broken, wounded human nature, broken by sin. There is something in us the Bible calls the flesh, friends, that literally resists God, wants to assert ourselves over and above it. We want to be the center of the world. We want to be the center of everything. It leads us to pride and vanity and greed, you know, the seven deadly sins, all those kinds of things which are so real, and they're everywhere. You can see them everywhere. And you don't have to look too far. Some of it's in us. And we see it in Peter. Peter is afraid. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to get hurt. He didn't want to be ridiculed, imprisoned. He didn't want to be marginalized. He wanted to be somebody. He wanted to be comfortable. And that was so powerful in him that it was stronger than what he understood to be his love for Christ. And he experienced his slavery and the pathetic weakness of his own heart. And this is why Jesus told him, and the prophets foretold, we need a new heart. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, he's going to give us a new heart. He's going to put his spirit in us. The spirit that did love God and loved us all the way to the end. That great spirit, that spirit of God given to us to heal our hearts and give us the strength to say yes to God. To not be troubled. I saw this very, very powerful video a friend of mine showed me a couple of years ago of a Protestant pastor in China. Because we do work in China, and sometimes we intersect with some of these other brothers and sisters, and there's mutual encouragement and things. And there was a kind of a documentary done on this pastor who was, at the time of the documentary, probably, you know, 60 years old or so. And he had the equivalent of about an eighth grade education. And he was the pastor of a house church that literally had nearly 100,000 people in it. And over the time that church was being built, I mean, he had a radical conversion in his own life and began to read the scriptures, and he just began to talk to people about Jesus and reading the scriptures with them and leading them into a relationship with Christ and the turning away from the world and baptizing them. And well, he was thrown in prison 11 times in his life. And each time he was there, it was very difficult. And he was often beaten, starved at times, you know, like just wouldn't feed him. Very difficult. But he always felt a lot of great strength of God in the situation, and he wasn't afraid of it. But he said in an interview, you could hear it through the translator, that after the 10th time he got out, and he had been, while he was in that 10th time, he had been beaten pretty badly. And he was older, and it was more difficult. And he came home, and he said to himself, and he said to the Lord, I just can't do that anymore. But he came back, and he began the work in shepherding his church and the rest. And at a certain point, only months after he'd returned, there's that bang on the door. And he said as soon as he heard it, he knew what it was. It was the police coming to take him away again. And he said for the first time, a terrible fear came over him, like a terror grabbed him. And he said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't take it anymore. And the men came in and they arrested him. And in taking him out, he was pleading with Jesus begging Jesus, please, Jesus, I don't think I can handle it anymore. And literally he's crying out to the Lord. And he said when he got to the door of the house, as they were crossing the threshold out the door, he heard the Lord say to him in his heart, be not afraid. I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And what he said now, he's being interviewed after his 11th time was over, and he went through the same kind of stuff. He was being interviewed, and he said, as soon as he heard that in his heart, he said all of his fear went away completely. And he experienced a tremendous amount of grace from God. And he was a man just filled with joy, despite everything he went through. And the Lord took him to a place of tremendous holiness. And it made me think about a bishop in Lithuania that I had met, and he's still alive today, Bishop Sigitas Tomkevičius, who had been in the gulag for 7 years or 9 years, something like that, during communist time in Lithuania. And he was turned in by a KGB priest plant, and he had a very hard time there. You know, it was a very difficult place to be, but when he got out, he was radiant with the joy of the Lord. And it was noticeable. He looked so different when we first went to Eastern Europe than almost anybody else I saw. And I asked him one time, I said, Bishop, why are you so full of joy? And he said his time in prison was the most important time in his entire life. And he said it was the richest time as a disciple. And it was a time filled with joy for him. And I said, how could that be? And he said, because Jesus was so close to me every day, it was as though I could smell his breath. And he comforted me. And it made me think about what Jesus said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And even though these two brothers, one Protestant, one Catholic, are suffering at the hands of really unrighteous, confused, broken, screwed up people, unjustly being treated that way, in the midst of that, what we would consider a nightmare and would never want anything to do, these men are encountering Jesus Christ with great power. And he's giving them a strength that they need. And both of them talk about living with Jesus in that situation and how precious it was. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the future. Take the hand of Jesus. He's standing there right with you now. He's saying, I know you. I made you. Come with me. I'm going to bring you home. You don't have to be afraid of any situation you're in. I will lead you to truth and freedom and the joy that I promised you. I came that you might have life and have it to the full, but I can't lead you to that fullness of life until you trust me and radically give your heart to me. I will lead you out of the darkness and into the light. Friends, that is a truth you can take to the bank, and it's something you must hold on to in the culture today. So you can be everything you're called to be in this moment of great trial that the world is living through. You're meant to be part of God's answer. Say yes to him. Let him lead you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new book, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.